Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to a Friday. This is indeed Sound the Shofar. Today we're going to be talking about the Day of the Lord. I don't think enough people really appreciate the fact that we've been warned in Scripture about it. It's a day that we should have already been prepared for. Because if you think that this world of sin and debauchery, heartache, murders, and every other evil thing, but there's also a lot of good things. There's great places to visit. There's good people. Nevertheless, there's another kingdom coming. And when we talk about the day of the Lord anyway, just like we talk about judgment when we were talking about last night in our part 29 of our Isaiah series, it's redemptive. God doesn't want you destroyed. He wants you to, here it is, repent. Oh, I'm laughing. You know, that's a tough word, especially for some people. You can find us on Twitter by WatchmanIS216. We're not going to be on Facebook anymore because they didn't like the posts of our shows we were doing. So they had the last five or so posts that I was putting up about the shows. They're about the shows. They didn't like them. So I protested it, and then I just deleted. It's scheduled for deletion in 30 days. And I've deleted it 4 years ago. Facebook, YouTube, you know, Twitter, even Google. You know, these people you can't trust online. While technology is amoral, it doesn't care whether you're a pagan or a Christian or whatever you are, a porno buff or not. It doesn't care. But see, when you get into the platforms that we use, there's a lot of liberality. There's a lot of bias. And they get a lot of people from around the world to help them control their sites. So if you're a Christian preaching the word, and they hire somebody from an Islamic country that don't like Christians and their gospel, well, they're going to flag it. Well, I'm just saying that these people can even appoint Americans who don't like it. And there's bias. We already know what the hatred and division in this country is. So at any rate, enough of that. You can find us over on USA.life. You can find us on MeWe. Instagram and Twitter, look for Warn Radio. And I don't even know if I'll be on Twitter or linked. I'm not Twitter, but Instagram or LinkedIn anymore. Not much. We're on them now, but they're both platforms owned by Facebook. So some of the same policies could apply for some reason. I never did get an answer. So I don't know. They just flag these things. They don't tell me nothing. At any rate, Instagram is a little bit different than Facebook, and so is LinkedIn. So we could viably keep those. Although Instagram about a year ago, they were talking about incorporating it into the Facebook, which more power to them, because they can do whatever they want to, but Facebook is a whore. Of course, there's a lot of things in America that's a whore. Nevertheless, you can go to our websites. I'm not going to go through the list. We have a whole list of places where you can, you know, listen to this show. A couple of articles for you: Christian Persuasion, Persistence, and Perfection, and a free ebook, House of Long Shadows. Go on over to danaglennsmith.com. You can get a free ebook over there. Both of these are very pertinent articles. So head on over to Dana Glenn Smith. You can find the articles over on Warren Radio on warren-usa.com. And I'm working, I've been thinking about it for a long time, incorporating everything into one. But until then, we do have two websites. I do have another website that I haven't built yet, but I do have the name of it, and I've already got the ICANN name of it. So we're all set to go. It's really for another time. I'm waiting for, at any rate, I don't want to go into that, but know this: if you're living in America or the Western nations, specifically these places, be prepared, because it's coming. And of course you say, well, what's coming? You'll find out. Do you have any specifics, you ask? Yes, I do. If you'd listen to the programs, you would know. Well, you know, in Hebrews 5:5-6, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said in him, thou art my son. Today have I begotten thee. As he saith in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is the Son of God. And he's coming again. First time it was on the cross, suffering servant. That was his goal. This next time he's coming as the warrior king, the greater son of David. He's coming as the Almighty, the beginning and the end, the Word. The day of the Lord, actually, when we look at the day of the Lord, of course, in the King James, the word Lord is capitalized, which means this is important. Yahweh. When Yahweh speaks, y'all listen. For if you don't listen, you'll be in trouble. But see, he sent his son, so you wouldn't be in trouble. Isaiah 2:12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Well, there's one thing about the day of the Lord. There will be nowhere to run, although many people will try. because that falls into another scenario, fear, pit, and snare. Now, see, today we have some semblance of when there's war. But see, in the old days, when you had Sennacherib, for instance, running into the land, everybody knew about it. From a distance, you could see the clouds. And then there was the rumors from the other villages that were fleeing. And then as they got closer, you could hear the rumbling, plus the dust and dirt. And even more people were fleeing. That is, those who were alive. And by the time they got to the gates of Jerusalem, you knew they were there. Of course, for Sennacherib, in this scenario, he didn't work out too well, because 185,000 of his troops were slain by the angel of the Lord in one night. And so when we look at the coming of Christ, Yahshua, Jesus, to many Americans, English speakers, he is going to destroy the armies. Of course, the Gentile nations will have succeeded in gathering and unifying together. And they have at their head the one and the last greatest Gentile leader. But believe me, he's no Gentile. Comes right out of darkness. But he'll lead them all the way to the gates of Jerusalem. It'll be a big battle. It'll look like they're going to win. Then things will change. And then when the Lord breaks the sky, now you can read, you can read that in Revelation. Read it in the last chapter of Zechariah. Isaiah 13:6. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. The day of the Lord. You know, we have a couple of days of the Lord when we talk about that. One localized that can happen upon any nation. You know, even when Noah was here and the Lord flooded the earth, that was a day of the Lord. When Sodom and Gomorrah fell, that was a day of the Lord. When Nineveh was threatened, they repented, but then 70 years later, the day of the Lord came upon them and they were destroyed. The day of the Lord came on Babylon and all the leaders, and Cyrus of Persia took over, freed the Jews, and sent them to Jerusalem to rebuild. The day of the Lord. Both Judah and Israel, the northern tribes rather, both of them had their own day of the Lord. But there's coming a great day of the Lord that's spoken of in Scripture. He's coming again. And so, while the day of the Lord to you may be far off, there can still be a localized day of the Lord, judgment. Isaiah 13:9, behold, the day of the Lord. Now, this is all in the same chapter, two times in the same chapter. That means you pay attention. The day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. Don't you love the Old Testament, as we call it affectionately? Nothing old about it. You got any sinners in the land? Well, let's take a poll. Dear God in heaven, don't do it in America. You won't have enough paperwork. See, this is not a time to take lightly, but you know, we are like that. We get so busy. We think it's never going to arrive. But see here, in the first time it's mentioned in chapter 13, it says it'll come as destruction. And the second time, he expounds on that. It's cruel, with wrath and fierce anger. The land will become desolate as a result, and he will destroy the sinners out of it. Now, see, in our time, for instance, Mystery Babylon is going to be destroyed. Revelation 18. And right at the beginning of it, the Lord tells his people, come out of her, my people, lest you partake of her plagues. In other words, get out of there, because I'm going to destroy the place and the judgments on the sinners. Because even in great mystery Babylon, there will be Christians. There will be believers. So get out of there. He doesn't want you to take part in that. Now, of course, if you're a rapturist, you believe that you're going to be raptured out. And of course, I'm the first one to admit, well, wow, that's great. I'm all for it. Matter of fact, I'm ready. So's Tower. This world is filthy, has nothing in us. Let's go now. But the pre-trib rapture, per se, has been taught by the Gentile church and the theologians and even the doctors of law, who were taught by other men who were doctors of law, who were taught by other men who were doctors, and that's the way we all followed it. No real divine revelation, no truth to it, just, well, we figured it out, and that's the way we taught it. However, it's wrong. But I don't care. If you want to believe it, help yourself. I don't worry about any of that. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, to me, they're foolishness. When the Lord's ready, he's coming. When the Lord's ready to pull us out, he will. But you know, there's something about a prayer that the Lord prayed in John. He said, Father, I pray that you would not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. The evil meaning Satan, the devil, that evil. I pray that you would not take them out of the world. That's his prayer. So, I mean, help yourself. Well, that doesn't matter. Well, okay, fine. But he's the one that prayed it. Did Noah get taken out when the day of the Lord come? No. But God provided protection for him, and he went through it, and he was safe. When God took on Babel and confused the language, did he kill everybody? No, he just confused the language. That was another judgment. And when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, did everybody in it get killed? No. Lot, his wife and two daughters left. No, Lot tried to get his sons-in-laws and others to go, but they just laughed at him. Nineveh's the same way. First time they escaped, second time they didn't. What I'm getting at is that just have yourself prepared. Prepare yourself. Seek the Lord. Walk with him. You know? Like it says in 1 John 1. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then a verse down or two, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. It's an all-inclusive package there. Just walk in his light, seek his face. I don't worry about the day of the Lord. I warn others about the day of the Lord because they're not paying attention. We got entire generations of children, young adults that aren't ready. They're enamored with technology. They're enamored with everything. People don't focus today, except on money and a few other things. Isaiah 34:8, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Oh, there's been a controversy of Zion. We don't want the Jews in there. Let's kill them all. They plot daily to remove the Jews. The Jews live continuously. I mean, even in Europe, even in the UN, there's people that plot to kill Jews. And then you have a bunch of punky young adults who accuse Trump of being Hitler, which is stupid. See, they don't have nothing else. They even accuse all the followers to be fascists because these morons that are protesting in Antifa and others wouldn't know a fascist if it bit them on the butt. Matter of fact, they're the ones that are fascists. All they have to do is look in the mirror. Now, believe me, we know what fascists are, those of us who had parents and grandparents in World War II. I was in wasn't in Vietnam, but I was in a service during Vietnam. We know what the bad guys are. But see, that sentiment that Hitler had is still alive and well. It's even in America. It's on our streets. It's in our schools. It's in your higher learning. It's in the political realm. I mean, you have AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar. They're all anti-Semites. Many in the UN are anti-Semites. So the controversy of Zion, it's going to get ended. Because eventually the Gentile nations are going to get their way and they're going to go against Israel. But the Lord pointedly says, I will gather them there. I will bring them down there to judge them. So when the day of the Lord comes, it's going to come and you're going to howl. But make no mistake, included in the center of all the prophecies, we find Jerusalem and Israel, the term Zion, Christian Zionism. I'm a Zionist because Zion is where the Lord's going to be, and that's where I want to be. You don't like it, I don't care. Go choke on a rock if you want to. You will choke on a rock. You know what that rock is? The Rock of Ages, the cornerstone upon which is built the apostles and prophets. Yeshua, Jesus, he is that rock. And on whoever he falls, this rock falls, you shall be crushed. So the controversy, it's going to be over with, baby. You don't like the Jews in Zion. Well, even the Jews have problems figuring everything out because they're in their, what are they now, third or fourth election? I think it's the third. Because they don't get along. You would think of as many enemies as the Jews had, they could get along, but they can't get along. They couldn't get along back in Israel of old. But see, God hasn't gotten rid of them. And Paul writes about that the Jews shall be saved. Jeremiah 46:10. Of course, Jeremiah is writing. This is in the context of his judgment on Judah. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. And the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts has a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Well, you see, he had a lot of enemies just in Jerusalem. Jeremiah was sent to a people that didn't want to listen. And there were those that were definitely enemies. By the time Jeremiah was doing his prophecies, they were sacrificing children to Baal and doing other things. Many other things. And so those who were the sinners among his people who rejected him and the real truth, they would die. And they would go to Babylon. Not everybody went to Babylon. Babylon needed someone to work the land, so they left some of them there. See, in that scenario, it's better not to be a politician. It's better to be just some old schmo that works in the field. That way they probably won't kill you because you're not a threat, and they'll just leave you there to continue tilling the land. A lot of these conquered armies would do that. But they would make sure that they would kill all the young lions, that is, the young men who fought against them. Nevertheless, Babylon was an enemy. The Lord ain't short on enemies, but he's not short on those who follow him either. Lamentations 2:22. Thou hast called, as in a solemn day, my terrors round about, so that in the day of the Lord's anger none escaped nor remained. Those that I have swaddled and brought up hath mine enemy consumed. Now you see, this is Lamentations, lamenting over what happened to Judah. Now, I attribute this to Jeremiah writing this Lamentations. And those that he knew, that he raised up, that he helped, all went into captivity. See, the day of the Lord has no compunction about it. The day of the Lord is on everybody. Men, women, children, period. On the land, on everything there is. That's why it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Go figure, huh? Yeah, the fear of the Lord. With a healthy fear of the Lord, you realize that this God could just destroy everything in a moment. He doesn't need us. You think he needs the moon and the stars? No, he could destroy it all and create it all new. He doesn't do that because of his love. John 3:16, for God so loved. You see, God is a God of love, even though many of the naysayers and those who don't like him will accuse him of being a God of hate. Now, the Muslims have a God of hate because, especially from the sign of the radical Islamists, they go around killing and murdering, slaughtering, raping, and pillaging. And they attribute the reason they do that to their beliefs and following Allah. Well, let me tell you, there is one true God, and it ain't Allah. Allah is a generic name for God, but there is one true God, and it is Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You don't like that? I can't help it. That's the truth, whether you want to hear it or not. And he is a God of love. He sent his son. You see, out of his love flowed his mercy. Out of his mercy flowed his grace. And he provided a tool for you to believe, just like Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So he requires everybody else to believe. You believe on the work of Christ, believe in him and receive him, and thou shalt be saved. But that's why they call this book Lamentations. He's lamenting. It's one of those what I should have done books and what happened books. It's like when you go through something and then you look back on it, you say, you know, I should have done this. Yeah, well, that's a little late. Now, you know it in plenty of time in case you want to repeat what you just done. You can stop yourself, but, well, you know, I shouldn't have done that. Well, yeah, you're right. You probably shouldn't have done it, but it's a little late now, don't you think? See, that's a good thing about the Lord. You do something that you shouldn't have, he's provided for you forgiveness. I didn't create forgiveness. I didn't even create love. I didn't create grace or mercy. The Lord God did. Now, of course, the world has their own kind of sick love. And that ain't true love. The world doesn't understand love. They understand lust in all of its forms. Ezekiel 13:5, you have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle of the day of the Lord. Well, you know, there is scripture that says, I sought for a man to stand in the gap and I found none. And if there is anybody that needed to stand in the gap for Israel, you know, it was these prophets. The Lord said, I woke up early warning you by sending the prophets. By the time the Lord got here, bringing the new covenant, he was weeping over Jerusalem. Weeping, saying, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou who stonest the prophets, how oft would I have wanted to gather you as a mother hen does her chicks, but you would have none of it. He's speaking of the prophets he sent. He was trying to gather them, bring them back into the fold, teach them, but they would have none of it. They went their own ways, and God allows that. So he sent the prophets to gather them, wake them up, give them a chance to repent and turn to him, but he knew ahead of time that they wouldn't. Even Moses warned them that they would fall away from the Lord. Moses. So this is not a new concept here. Ezekiel 30:3, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day, and it shall be a time of the heathen. Heathen is unbeliever. Goyim or Goy. Joel 1:15, alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. This is Joel. Another one in Joel. You wouldn't believe Joel. Now, if there was ever an end time book, it's Joel. Joel 1:15, Joel 2:1, Joel 2:11, Joel 2:31, Joel 3:14. Now, see, Isaiah uses multitudes, multitudes as well. Joel 3:14 says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now see, the valley of decision is where the day of the Lord is going to happen. And if you're in the day of the Lord, I mean, if you're in the valley of decision during the day of the Lord, now see, Megiddo, Armageddon will be that valley for the end of days. But there's many valleys of decisions. There's individual decisions that people make every day that are wrong that take them away from the Lord God. One of these days, you're going to stand in the real true valley of decision where you stand up before the Lord God. And he'll hold you accountable for everything you do. Now, see, that's why I'm saying, you know, that's why the Lord died. Nobody needs to die and go to hell. That's ridiculous. Nobody's destined to go to hell except for the devil and his minions. But see, Christ, you know, the Lord says in John, that's actually after John 3:16, if you read the context, which most people don't. He said, many of them won't come to the light because they love darkness. That's the way the world is. They love darkness. Joel 2:11, the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great, very terrible. Who can abide it? And the one thing about Joel we know is about all the locusts that are coming, his army of locusts and the palmer worm and it's a destroying thing, totally destroying everything off of all the crops. And that is a sign to his people to let them know, this is the kind of army I'm going to send. I'm just devouring your crops now. Next time I'll send an army. And they will eat everything, but not just that. They will kill everything. But there's always a remnant left. So not all of them got killed. By God's mercy. Joel 2:31, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Now we look at this as a very end time scripture. I also look at Joel 3:14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And then 2:11, the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word, for the day of the Lord is great, very terrible. Who can abide that? Joel 2:1, blow ye the trump in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Joel 1:15, alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand as a destruction from the Almighty. Now, when you put all these together, now, this is in Joel, as I said before. Now, a lot of these have very, very important end-time relationships because today we look at the sun being turned into darkness, the moon into blood as a sign. Matter of fact, we had that sign not too long ago. And, you know, we had the double blood moons 2014, 2015. And it usually signifies something that's going to occur that's very significant. And it was at that time that ISIS was really ramping up and they went through the land raping and pillaging. And that's one of the things we were covering. I was covering all the news at the time on that every day. But at any rate, so you can see that clearly. Now in Amos, here's another one. Woe unto you, the desire of the day of the Lord, to what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. And Amos 5:20, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, no brightness in it? You see, I do hear of people saying they want the day of the Lord. No, you don't. I've been warning America about judgment on America for over two decades. And I've said this many times, the first time that I ever mentioned this, because I knew it well in advance, it was shown to me and told to me. And one of the phrases I was clearly told, America as you know it will cease to exist. And another phrase was, and you begin to see these things come to pass, then you'll know it is the Lord thy God which has shown these things to you. And I was shown things. But at any rate, I don't talk about that much because I talk about the Word. You need to be in the Word, not in some guy's vision. Visions come and go. The Word of the Lord is forever. So I don't go there with visions. I don't give much credence into modern day prophets, modern day visions. Everybody, eat too much pizza, you get a vision. Don't get enough sleep and you kind of get in there where you're not deep sleep, you can have a dream. You got to make sure what spirits are trying to contact you before you start going blabbing around. Your surefire cure, stay in the Word of God. That's the only truth you're going to have today. But see, when we talk about this, don't desire the day of the Lord. I don't look forward to the fall of America. Matter of fact, I'd be perfectly content if it never happened. But I guarantee you that America will fall one day. And if you're rejoicing that America's going to fall, don't rejoice. Because you'll be next. That's the way it is. You think God's just going to destroy one nation when all the nations need to be judged? It's going to be the judgment of nations. Obadiah, for the day of the Lord is near upon the heathen. And we love that word heathen in the prophets. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thy own head. Now see, we're dealing with nations here, but also that's the same thing with individuals. We know for a fact, whatsoever you sow, so shall you reap. In judgment, everything you do is going to be before the Lord. So it's really not a nice time, you know. It's one of these things that you don't look forward to. But see, what the phrase the day of the Lord and the events around it does, it gets you to understand that God means business. When he commands all men everywhere to repent, he means it. Because one day, the day of grace, which you take so casually, is going to be gone. One day, the king is going to show up, the true king. And you've taken him lightly. You've taken his name in vain. You haven't cared. And you don't really believe in this whole Christian thing and this redemption thing. But at that time you will. But it'll be too late. The day of the Lord is there to serve as the teaching tool, as a reminder from the Lord to say, I'm not going to always allow you to kill and murder and rape and do these dark deeds. I sent my son to die for your sins, and you've rejected him. Paul even talks about this in Hebrews. About those who trodden under the blood of his son. Count it as an unholy thing. You mock the cross. You mock the Christ of the cross. You'll get yours. You should repent, but you won't. You're too proud. You laugh at others. Even Peter warned of mockers in the last day. All the apostles talked about those who would do such things. Zephaniah, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. In other words, he's invited them. And that follows the same line that I talked about earlier, that he's going to bring them down to Jerusalem to judge them there. Zephaniah 1:8 shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I'll punish the princes, the king's children, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Now make note of that. In the New Testament, because of Christ, we have apparel. It is the apparel of righteousness, clothed in the justification through Christ. And we are king's kids, children of the Most High through Christ. We've received him, and he's given us power to become the sons of God. But you're not going to get into the banqueting hall without the proper entrance attire. The strange apparel is uncleanness, debauchery, godlessness, rejection of the truth. It's not a place you want to go. And when we talk about Zephaniah too, there's Zephaniah 1:8, 1:7, 1:14, 1:18, 2:2, 2:3, and then Zechariah 14:1 and Malachi 4:5. I'm not going to go through them all because I want to get into the New Testament. But Zephaniah 1:8, America, pay attention here. Of course, many of them are too busy to take time to listen to something as trivial as this, but they need to know. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of jealousy, for he shall even make a speedy riddance of all of them that dwell in the land. You see, in the world, we like our money, our gold, our silver, our homes, our castles, our places to go hide. We have Americans that have bought old missile bunkers and made them into an end of days place to go hide. But none of that will save you from the day of the Lord. None of it. None of it. Your money is not going to get you anywhere. Your riches, your comforts. You're going to be standing out there on that judgment day as if you were naked on a freezing day in the Arctic. Totally helpless. You see, in the eyes of the Lord, you're naked anyway. When you stand before him, you ain't going to stand a chance without the Son of God who died for you. It's time to repent, folks. You know, you don't know the day or the hour. Acts 2:17 through 21. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This is out of Joel, but it's in Acts. He's quoting Joel. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I remember David Wilkerson talking about that verse. He said he was an old man and he dreamed a dream, and he proceeded to tell everybody about it. He says, so I think I qualify. At any rate, here's my dream. So he told it. It was about the coming of the Lord. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood, fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord shall come. Now see, that ties with the same phrases that we've read previously. The sun turned to darkness, the moon into blood. So that is an end time scenario. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now see, this is important because this is on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaching. And he told him about the day of the Lord. First Corinthians 5, Paul's talking to the Corinthians, which had, you know, they were in the Roman Empire. Roman Empire had a lot of idolatry and fornication. This ain't new, but this was in the church. He didn't like that. It was godless. And he says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. So some kid took his father's wife. Now that there was actually an occasion when David's son, who tried to overthrow him, actually got his concubines and stuff. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. You know, in other words, you don't keep him around you as if it's okay. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit, in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, that is a controversial verse. And the idea is being delivered unto Satan. In other words, turn him over. And as Satan begins to devour him or cause trouble for him, maybe he'll see the error of his ways and repent and thus be saved. And he will be there in good attire on the day of the Lord. That's the idea. You don't smooth over the sins. You deliver them. You let them know it's sin. But see, we don't do that in modern society. There's no sin. You need to make sure who's preaching to you before you listen to the knucklehead. Because believe me, there's a lot of knuckleheads that are in your pulpits. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world more abundantly to you word. For we write none other things unto you than what you read or acknowledge, and I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end. As also you have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Everything working with people, Paul would bring up the day of the Lord, because he was working, yes, for the day in which he lived, but also for that future time when everybody would be made perfect through Christ. That was the goal. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 9. Now, this is a verse you need to pay attention to, because this is important. But of the times and season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, if you're a believer, now see, there's some believers that are, well, a lot of them, rather, especially around here, go to a church that never deals with the end time scenarios. But the idea, don't be in darkness. Understand what we're saying here. Understand what the scripture is telling you. You don't want to be overtaken this day as a thief, where you don't see it approach. You are all children of light and the children of the day. You are not of the night or the darkness. That means you're not of the world, folks. That means if you have a church that says it's okay to fornicate, get out of it. If you have a church that says all these perverted unions that we herald around here is wrong, get out of it. It's not okay to do the deeds of the flesh. It's not okay. Now, society says it's okay. People have rights, and they demand rights every day in America, and they do have rights under the Constitution. We've legalized these things. They can do them. But that doesn't mean they're going to get into heaven. It is a sin. It's abomination. There's many sins and abominations. It's about time you woke up to the fact your God is holy and he demands holiness. He's not going to put up with a church that's full of fornicators and liars, cheaters and adulterers and every other kind of thing. You got to be striving towards perfection. You have to throw off the deeds of the flesh. And that's what Paul is saying here in Thessalonians. Why? Because he says abundantly here, very abundantly. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. That's what they're doing around the world and even in America. They're asleep. They do all their time bitching and moaning over politics. But let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep in the night sleep in the night, and that they be drunken are drunken in the night. Now let's go to verse 9. But God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you understand what Paul's saying? Stay out of the deeds of the flesh. Don't do the things that are of darkness. Stay in the light of Christ. Remember, 1 John 1. Because God has not appointed you to wrath. He's appointed you to salvation, just like he's commanded everybody to repent. Because he's provided the sacrifice for all men. But they won't all come. 2 Peter chapter 3:10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works thereof that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in all holy conversation and godliness? I would say, yeah. You think? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for new heavens, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The day of the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night, folks. That's why you need to be walking in all holy conversation and godliness. That's what Peter's saying. That's righteousness, folks. That's not iniquity. That's not sin. That's not the deeds of the flesh. I urge you today, get there where Peter suggests. You should be following all holy conversation and godliness. That's way of life. That's following the Lord, being in the light. That's what that is. He's not talking about what you're talking down at the bakery. He's talking about how you live your life. What does it say? What are you? And so we're going to be stopping there. We pretty much covered, which is a good deal, because there was really quite a few scriptures there that and we're going to have to get out of here. Go to warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. This is the Watchman for Tower. We'll see you on the other side. Coming up is a pretty big holiday, Christmas and New Year's and stuff like that. Keep an eye on all the shows. We won't be doing shows and a lot of stuff during all this time. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.